Well, hello everybody. It is good to be able to bring you another video, and I hope that this can encourage you and support you as you seek to grow in your walk with the Lord. Today, we're going to look at an episode from Acts that I just love. But before we dive into that, I want to just remind you again that we are back with our regular church services on Sunday at 10:30. And so everyone is invited to come and attend. There are several rules that we've put into place to help everyone and to keep everyone safe and to follow the leadership of the health authorities. And so for the time being, at least, we are requiring that everyone wear a mask. We are doing this in love. So we ask everyone to wear a mask, and if you don't have one, masks are available at the door for you to use. Nice, they're good. They don't feel like you're suffocating. They're clean. Anyways, they're disposable masks that you can use at the door. So if you don't have one or you forget one, just come on in, and we have those there for you. And obviously, small children are not expected to wear masks. Everyone except for family members, so all those who are living in your house. Can you know, interact and sit right by each other, but everybody else we're asking to keep about a 6 foot distance. And this obviously means no hugging and no handshakes. We're not there yet, and Lord willing, we'll get there soon, but we're not there yet. We have changed things a little bit to help with our spacing. So we are asking everyone to sit three chairs apart instead of four. So three chairs apart, which is just over 5.5 feet. We're asking you to do that to help keep people safe, but also to make sure there's room for everyone. So if you could just be really intentional about making sure there's just a gap of three chairs so that we can get the most people into the room safely as we can, we'd appreciate that. And obviously, everyone with a fever or any symptoms associated with COVID-19 or someone in your household who has any of those symptoms, we ask you to out of love, to stay away. We're still going to be recording the messages as a video for you earlier in the week, and so you can still watch those at home as we've been doing, and you can participate. It's the same sermon that everybody else gets to hear, and so we invite you and encourage you to do that, but to love everyone enough to sacrifice your own desires to come to church. If you're feeling ill, or if you are vulnerable, or if you potentially have the virus, we ask you to stay away until you're feeling better. There's no children's ministry at this time, and so to help young families, we've shortened our service to 40 to 45 minutes. We are going to be working hard to keep in that range for the time being, moving forward, and so just be aware of that. There's going to be no to help kind of with containment. There's going to be no bulletins. There's no prayer cards. There's no pens available. So if you want to take notes, we invite you to bring your own pads of paper or sheets of paper and pen. We also, if you have prayer requests, you can email us at prayer@faithbaptistupnorth.org, and we will spread that out, and we'll also try to pray for it on Sunday. The old church building is going to be closed, so that includes the library, the youth room, the nursery, and the offices. All of those areas are going to be closed so that we can kind of keep things contained and streamlined so that we can help with cleaning as well as encourage people to kind of come in and then go out after the service. Counseling sessions and meetings with the pastor or access to the library is available by appointment only. So if you call or email the church, you can make an appointment to come on in and see us or to visit the library or do those other things. There's going to be no plates passed during the service, so offerings will be collected in containers as you leave the worship center. And so just be aware of that. If you have any questions, you can contact me or Pastor Michael or any of the deacons. We'd love to talk to you about it, but hope to see another good group like we had this last Sunday out again. I know it's different. I know it's not exactly the same. Sometimes that's hard, but we're going to praise God that we can join back together. even if it's joining back together with some limitations, some distances, face masks, other things that can make it a little uncomfortable, you know what? We're not going to complain about the fact that things are getting better and we're moving in the right direction. And now, instead of not being able to meet at all, we're at least able to meet. So I hope that you can take joy from that and excuse me, and join us on Sunday. Now, I want us to look, I was talking with Pastor Michael last week, and we were talking about just some interesting things from the Bible. We were talking about the account that we looked at a couple weeks ago with Elisha and the bear, the two bears that came out of the woods and mauled 42 young men, and just some of the interesting things that are in the Bible, and you read and you forget about, but just kind of point to not only the power of God, but the beauty of the scriptures. And so I want to look at one of those accounts, which is the account of the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19. And this is going, we're starting in verse 13. And I just want to read you a couple of verses and we'll just talk about it for a few minutes. It says, some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. So what's going on here is that there's this confusion as to what this new movement, this church that is started after Pentecost, that the Apostle Paul is now kind of one of the key figures of, what is that? What exactly is going on? And many people looked at it and they saw, okay, well, this is a powerful name, and we want power over the spiritual world. Power over the spiritual world can bring finances, money. Some people did it for the money. We have other accounts where people were using those possessed by demons to tell the future or to try to manipulate things. People who were exorcists would charge money to do it. And so if you have an ability, if you have a spell, if you have power in some way, that's a valuable talent. And so they looked at the Apostle Paul and they say, look at all the things that he's doing. I mean, his shadow touches someone, his handkerchief touches someone, and they're healed. So we want to use the same power that he does. And the Apostle Paul, all he does is talk about Jesus. So what they did is they said, well, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And they looked at this as a very a powerful name, but one that could be manipulated by us. In other words, there's power in it, but we control it. It's kind of like the genie mentality. You know, if you rub the lamp and a genie comes out, that genie has all kinds of power, but you know, according to the myth, according to the understanding that we have, it's you get three wishes, but his power is controlled by the wisher, by you, whoever rubbed the lamp. And so that's kind of how they looked at Jesus, that the if they use his name, then they're rubbing the lamp, and he's got to do what they command. He's got the power, but they get to control it. Well, they're going to learn very quickly in this account that that's not the way that Jesus works. Jesus is never in that situation where he is bound by or forced to do things that we, his creation, want him to do. We need to always understand that God is always in control, always. He is the all-powerful one. He is the one who power belongs to, not us. So then in verse 15, it says, one day the evil spirit answered them. So they go and they go to someone who is possessed by a demon, and they say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you. Now there's seven of them, seven sons of Sceva. So there's seven of these people who are saying, in a sense, probably in unison, probably some kind of a chant, I command you, we command you to come out. And this one day, an evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Now, it's interesting the way that they articulate this, the demon articulates this. It says, Jesus I know. And the wording here kind of goes back to the fact that they're fully aware of the power that Jesus holds. It's not that they know him intimately as believers do, but they fully are aware of who he is and the power that he holds. James 2:19 makes this point. He says, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even demons believe that and shudder." Demons understand who God is and the authority that he holds and the power that he holds, and they're afraid of him. And so that's the same idea. We know Jesus is the Son of God. We know about him. And then they say, "And Paul, I know about," which literally means we respect. So there's a point where they are acknowledging the power was not Paul's for all the miracles that he did. The power was Jesus's. But Paul was the minister or the means by which God chose to act. And so they respected a servant of God. And then they say, "But who are you? Who are you to think that you can boss around me? I'm a demon. Who are you to think that you have the power to control me?" You see, power over sin and over the demonic itself is not ours. It was not the Apostle Paul's either. We need to understand that our victory over sin is not because of how great we are. It's God's power. The only power we have is ours only because we are connected to the source of power, Jesus Christ, because he has made himself our head, because we have in submission been joined to him by the blood of Christ, and by faith through the grace of God, we are joined to him. And so we have access to that power, but that power is always dispersed to us and used by God through us. We are not those holding the lamp controlling a genie. We are not in full control. We are not in full power. And the demon here is making an explicit point that these men are trying to manipulate Jesus, who they know, the demon knows and fears. And the point is that they also should have feared God. They should have feared the fact that God can't be manipulated by them. God Almighty cannot be our tool in our tool belt to fight against the world. God is the source of our hope. He is the head. We are the body. And then it says in verse 16, "Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding." Now, can you imagine... can you imagine how enjoyable this would have been to write for Luke, the author? Like, how much fun. Like, he must have just been laughing and laughing when he thought, "I cannot wait for people to read about this. This is great." These men who tried to show that they have spiritual authority or spiritual power, trying to manipulate the name of Jesus for their own personal and probably financial means, here, everything gets turned over on them. The one spirit, the one demon that was indwelt in one person, was able to overpower seven other grown men. And not only was he able to overpower them, but he was able to overpower them in such a way that he beat each of them, so they all ran out bleeding and naked. Now, how you do that, I have no idea. How you get the just thinking of the logistics of it, you have one guy, how many can he hold down and beat and strip? I mean, it's just the power that this demon had in comparison to these seven men is just humorous. But they all run out bleeding and naked, which is a massive disgrace. It's not only a humiliation in our culture, but you know, you multiply that by 100, and that's what it is in their culture. So this demon made it abundantly clear that these men all seven of them. It didn't matter who their father was. It didn't matter what connection they had to the temple of God. It didn't matter what name that they tried to wield or use. What mattered is their connection to Jesus. And they had none. And because they had no connection to Jesus, they had no power. And so they were beat and mocked by this one demon. Then in verse 17, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Now here is where we can really learn something from this little account. That Jesus, it's Jesus who has changed all those who believe. I am a different man today than I was when I believed, and I am a different man than if I would not have believed, even if I would have tried my best. It's because of Jesus. It's Jesus who gives us strength. Friends, in light of the power of our enemy, who we often minimize, in light of his power, we need always to remain humble. We need always to give the praise where it is due to God alone. It's amazing how often you can see Christians and they will boast in all kinds of things. They will boast in how they did this, I did this. There's a lot of I speak. I quit this. I stopped this. I changed my life. And it becomes this kind of boastful pride, a prideful exaltation of ourselves, instead of recognizing God enabled me to quit this. God changed my heart so that I moved away. We need to understand that we should not boast, not in ourselves, not in our accomplishments, not in our own power, but we should boast only in Christ. For he is our all. And friends, let me encourage you to remember in the back of your mind this funny account of the seven sons of Sceva, which is a great name. But let it keep you humble. Let it keep you always seeking to remember that your power is yours because of your connection to Christ. And so boast, but boast only in the Lord. Boast of the fact that God has changed you, that God is working in you, that God is forgiving you and showing you grace and promise and a future. But don't boast because of you. Boast because of him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 17 through 18, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Friends, no matter what we stand up against, have courage, not because of yourself, not because of your wisdom or your finances or your skin color or anything else, but have confidence because you have been united to the head, to Christ. Let that be your joy, and let that be your confidence, always. Stay strong. Continue to trust in him and give him all the glory. For if we can only boast in him, what a great boasting that is. See you later. Bye.